I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, do kids of different races learn differently? It was one of the points made by Barack Obama's former minister, Jeremiah Wright, in his public appearances last week. But we wanted to know what educators say about all that. So we will ask two distinguished educators who have thought about this question in just a few minutes. And just in time for Mother's Day, our money coach, Alvin Hall, on what moms need to know about handling their money. But first, a number that caught our attention. Recently released census data shows that nearly a quarter of the children younger than five in the U.S. are Latino. It suggests that the nation's largest minority group is going to have even more of an impact on the country and sooner than has been previously predicted. But given all the heat that's been stirred up by the immigration debate, among other things, we thought it might be helpful to address some of the myths and facts about Latino kids. Joining us to talk about this are Pedro Noguera. He is a professor in the Steinhardt School of Culture, Education, and Human Development at New York University. He's in New York. And Jeffrey Pacell is senior demographer at the Pew Hispanic Center. He's here with me in Washington. Welcome to you both.
Thank you. Thanks, glad to be here.
Jeffrey Pacell, first of all, the basics. Census data, as I said that Hispanics account for one in four children younger than 5 years old in the U.S. This is up from nearly one in five in the year 2000. Why is this? Is this births or immigration?
For children that young, it's entirely births. We passed a threshold this past year. We had a million Latino births to Latino mothers. These are native-born and the percentage foreign-born in the Latino population has probably peaked. It's going to decline as more and more of the growth comes from births rather than immigration.
So it's fair to say that most of these kids are U.S. citizens. They're born here.
Virtually all of them are U.S. citizens.
Is this a national population or a regional population?
It's still somewhat regional, but increasingly it's national. One of the major trends of the last 10 to 12 years is the spreading out of the immigrant and Latino populations. The numbers are growing much faster away from the historic core in the Southwest and Chicago, Miami, New York. But there are still big concentrations in those areas.
Pedro Noguera, when we talk about educational challenges, we often talk in terms of ethnicity. Like, for example, we'll talk about the achievement gap and standardized testing between different ethnic groups. Do you think that that's the right framework? How should we talk about this? Is it better to talk about language, longevity in the U.S.? How do you think we should talk about this?
Well, I think there are many dimensions here. One of them that's very important is the opportunity gap. The gap in the opportunity to attend well-funded schools that can offer a good education. Latino students in this country are more segregated now than any other group and are more likely to go to schools that have very few resources and not surprisingly have some of the highest dropout rates in the country.
Are those two necessarily synonyms, that being segregated means that you tend to have fewer resources?
Well, it is. I mean, there are many affluent white students who are also segregated, but they tend to be concentrated in very affluent in schools that have resources. Poor kids of all races, but particularly Hispanics, tend to be concentrated in schools that pay teachers lower salaries, have less access to computers and to lab equipment, and therefore don't provide the same quality education as provided to middle-class children in this country.
Jeffrey, one of the other things that the census says, that Hispanics account for more than half the children younger than five in New Mexico and California, where their state of the overall state population is 44% and 36% respectively. In Texas, Arizona, Nevada, and Colorado, about a third or more of children under five are Hispanic. These are not considered to be overall educationally deprived states, right? So, I mean, in terms of the, well, is that true or not true?
Well, some of them I think are. I don't think the schools as a group in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona are among the best funded in the country.
And Pedro, what can you tell us about, as Jeffrey's already pointed out, most of these kids are U.S. born and they are U.S. citizens. Is there anything that we know about Latino kids overall about their language attainment and that of their parents?
Well, the most important thing we should all know is that they want to learn English. This idea that somehow Latinos don't want to learn English or that bilingual programs are preventing them from learning English is really not true. Bilingual education, the purpose of it is to ensure that kids learn English. Now, it's also good if they can also retain Spanish, because those kids will then have two languages and be better prepared for the workplace. But their parents wanted them to learn English as well. And so their language needs should not get in the way of them getting a good education if we have educators in place who know how to work with children who are learning English for the first time.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and I'm speaking with Pedro Noguera. He's a professor at the Steinhardt School at New York University, and Jeffrey Purcell, he's a demographer at the Pew Center. Could you talk a little bit more about this whole bilingual education issue, that this has become a contentious political issue in recent years? For example, Herman Badillo, who's a former deputy mayor of New York, as a congressman, he helped write standards for bilingual education. Now he's become an ardent opponent, saying that he thinks it sort of retards kids' ability to learn English. Do you think, Pedro Noguera, are there sort of best practices emerging in teaching kids whose parents might not be fluent in English how to speak speak English and so forth? Do you see what I'm saying? Is there any consensus emerging after all these years of sort of political hostility around this issue?
Yeah, I mean, the research is very strong that when kids can learn two languages, particularly when they're young, through dual immersion programs. This is the way most Canadians, for example, ensure that children will learn both English and French, because children learn a second language much more easily when they're young. The kids benefit, and kids can do it. And I think a lot of the hostility to bilingual education is simply because people don't understand what it is. The whole idea of bilingual education is supposed to learn two languages, not one. Unfortunately, most Americans can only speak one language, and this is a real problem for us because we live in a world where it's an advantage to speak more than one. Rather than being afraid of kids speaking some language other than English, we should just really make sure they can learn English well, and we should also make sure that our kids are learning Spanish and French and other languages as well, because they will be better off in the long run, too.
Obviously, one of the underlying anxieties is this whole question of whether Latinos assimilate in the same way, at the same pace, as previous immigrant groups have done. I'd like to hear from both of you on this. Jeffrey Purcell, what does the data show?
Well, we're in the middle of this wave of immigration. There's some data that suggests very strongly that the longer people are in the United States, the better their English. They may not end up speaking English well, but their English language improves. They tend to become homeowners. Their incomes go up. The history of immigration and assimilation has not been as smooth as I think we tend to perceive it, looking back historically. 100 years ago, the percent foreign-born in the population was a little bit higher than it is today.
Higher.
A little bit higher, mm-hmm. Yes. We are not at an all-time high. We probably won't reach that. It's about 15% foreign-born. We probably won't reach that for another 15 years or so. But the immigrants often did not learn English very well. It was their children, the ones born in the U.S., who did the assimilating and who grew up speaking English. There's a lot of research suggesting that the Latino population is on a path quite similar to what the Italian immigrants followed 100 years ago.
Pedro Noguera, what do you have to say about that?
Well, I think, again, that most immigrants understand the importance of learning English. If they don't learn English, their ability to get good jobs is much more limited. Their ability to navigate our society, to get resources, rent houses, anything they need to do is limited if they can't speak English. And I think that Fred is right, that the children are learning English quite quickly. They learn English from playing in the playground, from watching television. Where we have trouble is in school, because learning academic English, particularly if you're not fluent and literate in your native language, is much more difficult. And what we often see is those children will take several years to acquire academic English. They will be conversant in English in 9 months or a year, but they won't be able to read a textbook in English for much more time.
And why is that again?
Just because it takes much longer. That's the reason why, if you ask most Americans, how many of you have studied another language in school but still can't speak it? Even if they studied for several years, most Americans still can't speak the language, and that's simply because they're not immersed in it, but also because it takes much longer to acquire literacy in that second language.
So what does this suggest then about ways that the schools could serve this population better? So, and just we should stipulate that obviously kids are going to have different educational needs depending on how long their parents have been here, whether their parents are bilingual or fluent in English and so forth. But like, talking about the kids who are struggling because of the language issue, what are we learning about the best way to serve those kids?
Well, they need better prepared teachers who can provide that intensive language instruction quickly. They need to also, if we had teachers in the other subjects, math and science, who could do sheltered English, which is a way of teaching content in to children who are learning English for the first time, that would also help because these kids can learn other subjects fairly quickly and in many cases do even better than American kids when they have access to well-trained teachers. So I put a lot of the emphasis on our ability to train and to recruit teachers who have the ability to work with these children.
So Jeffrey Purcell, final thought from you. How long does it take before that second generation is fully assimilated, as it were, and you know whatever we mean by that? I would assume sort of language fluency and so forth.
Well, the data we have tells us that the second generation almost entirely grows up speaking English and speaking English well. In terms of socioeconomic assimilation, there's a lot of progress from the immigrant generation to the second generation in terms of education, in terms of income, but it takes longer to catch up in terms of generations and probably three. As I said, the Italians took almost four. Okay. But there's progress across generations.
Jeffrey Purcell is the senior demographer at the Pew Hispanic Center. He was kind enough to join us here in our Washington studio. Thank you so much for coming in.
You're very welcome.
We're going to pause here for a short break, and when we come back, Dr. Pedro Noguera, a professor in the Steinhardt School at New York University, will stay with us because we want to continue our focus on learning styles.